This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. How many of us have ever had a real enemy?
I mean, somebody who just really flat out disliked you or even hated you. And they did everything that they could to disrupt or even destroy your life. I'm starting to see some hands here. Amen. They lied to you and they lied about you. Tried to take advantage of you. Tried to stab you in the back when you thought that you could trust them. An enemy. Now catch this. If you are a Christian, your hand should be up. Amen. If you're a Christian, your hand should be up. Go over to 1 Peter 5:8. You have an enemy that's going to do everything that he possibly can to destroy your life. And you need to know how to deal with him. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy. He is an active enemy. He is on his job 24/7, and he's coming after you. Now, when Peter said this, he wasn't just saying it to individual Christians. He was speaking to the church. And you know why that is? Let me tell you something. You may not have realized this. Your greatest protection on earth against the power of the devil to destroy your life is the church. When you are out from under the umbrella of the Church of Jesus Christ, Satan's got a clear shot at you. He's got a clear shot. And so Satan is going to do everything he can to not only disrupt your life, but to disrupt the life of the church, because the church is the only institution on earth that can stand against him. The devil wants to get in here so bad. He wants to get in here so bad into the church, but you will never see the devil walk through that door. You will never see him. I mean, I don't know what picture you have of the devil in your mind. You know, this guy with the horns and, you know, the red cape and the pitchfork. You will never see him walk through that door. If he's going to get in here, there's only one way. You're going to have to bring him with you. Amen. That's the only way the devil can get in the church. He comes in with the church people. What we want to do today is to find out what we need to do to make sure that the devil is not at work in our lives as an individual and therefore in the church. Go over to Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Look at this. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. Jesus went to the region of the Gadarenes and met a man who had been demonized for years. Satan was doing his will in this person's life. And so we want to look at the story of this man to see what lessons we can learn that will help us when Satan comes knocking on our door. Now, the first question we want to ask and answer is, who is this enemy that's trying to destroy us? Satan is not like God. How many of you know that much? Amen. All right. Satan is not like God. But here's a mistake that Christians many times make. We sometimes think that there's God on the one side and God is righteous, and there's Satan on the other side and Satan is evil. And what God is for righteousness, Satan is for evil. That is not correct. God is above all. He is, the scripture says, omniscient. He knows everything. He is omnipotent. He has all power. And he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at one time. Satan is none of those things. You know what the scripture says? At the end of time, when we finally see what Satan looks like, we're going to look at him and go, that's him? I mean, that's the one that's been messing over the nations all of these centuries? You know, I don't know. The Bible doesn't give a physical description of him, but I figure he's probably about 5'3", you know. Some little shrimp of a guy. Anybody 5'3" here? I'm sorry. Well, you're a lady. You're okay. Okay. He is in and of himself. He is nothing. He is not the evil equivalent of God. We know what that means. He needs a lot of help. So Satan, this little shrimp, this little runt, he has demons at his beck and his call. So most of the time when we talk about the devil or about Satan and what he's trying to do in the life of a believer, just understand what we're really talking about is what the Bible calls demons. Those fallen angels that are working with Satan at his command, and they are the ones that will come and usually try to do something in your life. You know, there's often a question that's asked, and it's debated sometimes. Can a Christian be possessed by the devil? Can a Christian be possessed by the devil? Let me tell you what my answer to that is. I don't believe so, and I'll tell you why. Tony, come up for a moment, would you please? All right. Tina, would you come up here? Okay. Tony, I want you to stand right here. All right. And Tina, I want you to stand right there. No, I want you to stand where Tony's standing.
Beside
you. No, not beside you. I want you to stand where he's standing. I want you to stand where he's standing. Now, you notice I was very deliberate in choosing, you know, size here. Amen. All right. Now, catch this. If you are a Christian, who is at the center of your life? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit standing at the center of your life and the devil comes up and wants to take control of your life, what's he got to do? He got to get rid of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Not going to do that, Tony says. Amen? Uh-uh. See, as we're going to find out, the devil is no match for God. Amen? He doesn't even try to fight. And so my belief is, if you truly are a believer and the Holy Spirit is at the core of your being, there is no way that the devil can come and displace him. Thank you very much. You did a great job. So number one, the devil, as if you are a Christian, the devil cannot come into your life and possess you and cause you to do things that go against what God would have you to do in your life. But on the other hand, that does not mean that the devil may not be actively at work in your life this very day. Go over to Acts chapter 5. Let's look at a church member in whose life the devil was at work. You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? They wanted to be seen as very generous. So they came before the church claiming to have sold a piece of land and given the whole amount that they had sold back into the treasury of the church. And they were lying. And look at what happened when the Holy Spirit revealed this to Peter. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now catch this. Ananias was not possessed by the devil. The devil hadn't taken over. The devil wasn't controlling him and making him do things that he couldn't help doing. Peter said, Ananias, why did you let Satan do this? What had happened? Satan couldn't possess him, but Satan could influence him. Satan influenced him. Let me try another one here. Mo, come up for a moment, would you please? All right. Looking good, man. Notice he even brought his Bible. Praise God. Now, what are you doing up here, man?
You asked me to come up?
Now, notice something. I didn't yank him up out of his chair. I didn't pick him up and carry him. I didn't point a gun at him and force him to come up here. What did I do? I influenced him. I influenced him. I didn't have to force him. Because he gave me a place of influence in his life as his pastor, all I had to do was ask. And he came and did what I told him to do. Thank you. Catch this. The devil does not have to possess you in order to get you doing what he wants you to do. If you let him, he can influence you. He can whisper in your ear. He can make a suggestion. And your flesh says, that sounds good to me. And you go for it and catch it. If he can influence you, why does he need to possess you? He gets what he wants anyway. The devil is doing his best right now to influence your life. And John 10:10 tells us what he's trying to accomplish. Anybody remember? The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what he's trying to have influence in your life to accomplish. Well, how does he do it? How does the devil gain influence in my life? We're back in Luke chapter 8. Look at verses 31 and 32. And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. These are the demons. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountains. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Now, I want you to notice something. Here was this legion of demons fully possessing this man. Jesus came on the scene, and what did they know? Our time is up. We got to get out of here. Jesus has commanded us to leave. And guess what, folks? When Jesus commands a demon to leave, what does the demon have to do? Gotta leave, amen? No ifs, no ands, no buts, no wait until tomorrow. Gotta go. But notice this. When they asked, when Jesus commanded them to leave, they said, Jesus, all right, we know we gotta go. But please don't just throw us back into the abyss. Can't we go into these pigs out here? Catch it. Demons had to ask permission even to get into a pig. They couldn't just go in by themselves. Somebody had to open the door. If nobody opens the door, a demon, the devil, Satan, cannot come in. If the devil's going to get into your life, somebody's got to open the door. The scripture says that he desires to have you. He is standing out there knocking on the door saying, let me come in. Understand this. If the devil is going to walk into your life, there is nobody else on earth who can open that door but you. Any area of your life where you have not put God in complete control is an area where the devil can come in and fill it. And he will take every opportunity to do that. The scripture says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So I'm going to let air represent the devil right now. Suppose I want to get the devil out of my life. And my life is represented by this glass. Anybody have any idea, any suggestion as to how I might possibly get all of that air out of this glass? Now, I'm not going to fill it to overflowing because I don't want to make a mess. Amen? But catch this. There used to be a lot of air in this glass, isn't that right? What's happened to the air? When the water came in, what happened? The air had to leave. Isn't that right? Now, anybody know what water often represents in the scriptures? The Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit of God. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. You know, we're talking about not allowing any space in our life for the devil to come in, because he doesn't have to possess us. All he has to do is to grab hold of some area of our life that we will leave out of the control of God himself. And in that area, he will control us. Satan will control us if we allow him the space to do it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. What do we need to do to make sure that the devil does not gain any entrance into our lives and have any control over our lives? Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you fill all of the spaces of your life with the Spirit of God, there is no room for the devil. And we've already seen that when the devil comes up against the Holy Spirit, he doesn't have a chance. Amen? So what is our strategy? The scripture tells us that if we will walk every day filled with the Spirit of God, the devil will not have entrance. Go over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Look at this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God says in his word that anyone who is a believer, if you come and ask for the filling of the Spirit, if you ask for a piece of bread, will he give you a snake? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, what's he going to give? He's going to give you the Spirit. When I come turning my heart completely over to him, not holding on to any little spaces in there where I've got something that I don't want the Spirit to have hold of. Let's stop right there for a moment. How many people here have given your heart to Jesus? Amen. Now, can we be honest? How many of us who raised our hand can say he has our heart 100%? There is nothing that we are holding back. Nothing that we're holding back. There's no little area where we're saying to Jesus, Lord, I give you everything. I give you all of this. You can have the whole house, but don't come in this room. Any of us have any rooms like that in our house? The stuff that our flesh really enjoys, and we just, you know, well, Lord, one day I'm going to let you have this. One day, but not yet. It's still fun. I still enjoy it. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I would do if I couldn't have this one area in my life. You know, one of the things that people say to me sometimes, heard this several times. Well, I know that this is not according to the word, but God doesn't want me to be unhappy. And if I can't have this, I'm going to be unhappy. So it's all right with God. Any of you reason that way? Now, I'll tell you where I usually hear that. It's when somebody's getting ready to step out on their husband or their wife. God doesn't want me to be unhappy, and this person is making me unhappy. Catch this. Whatever space that we leave in our life that is not filled by God, the devil will come in and fill. Go over to Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 24. 24 through 26. Look at the warning that Jesus gives us about holding out on God in our lives, holding some area that we do not allow the Holy Spirit to fill. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Do you see what he's saying? When you invite Jesus into your life, Jesus comes in and says, let me fill your life. But if you then say, Jesus, there's an area of my life that I don't want you in, that area stays empty. And what is the demon looking for? If there's an empty space that the Holy Spirit is not filling, that's where he goes. See, he's not at the center of your life. He's not possessing you, but he's influencing you. And he's going to take you toward destruction. So we need to examine ourselves. Amen? We need to ask God to show us, is there some open door in my life that I'm allowing the devil to come through because I have not yielded it to Jesus? Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That needs to be the prayer that we're praying. We need to be coming before the Lord. Lord, search me. Is there an open door in my life? I may not even see it, God. I may not even recognize that that's what it is. But Satan is coming through that door, and he's having an influence in my life. And God, I want it to stop. Holy Spirit, you fill every space in my life. I'm not holding anything back from you. How can I tell if there's an open door in my life that Satan is coming through? Luke chapter 8 again. Look at verses 32 and 33. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Now, look at what happened when these demons entered into the swine. Immediately, these swine are peacefully, I don't know what swine do, they don't graze, I guess. Peacefully doing whatever pigs do, all right? Amen. And suddenly the demons enter into them and they run down the steep place and fall into the sea and are drowned. In other words, they were totally out of control. Totally out of control. The first sign that Satan may be entering some door in your life that you have left unlocked, some space that you have left unfilled by the Holy Spirit, is there something going on in your life that's out of control? Is there something that you know is not right? You know is not good, but you just can't seem to control it. That's number one. Number two, the pigs destroyed themselves. So not only is it out of control, but it is self-destructive. Is there something going on in your life today that you know this is not good, this is not right? I know that it's not even good for me, and yet I just can't seem to do anything with it. If it's out of control and it's self-destructive, you need to examine yourself. Amen? I have shared with you some time ago the story of a woman that I've dealt with, Priscilla and I dealt with, who was, she was the mistress of a married man. All right? Claimed to be a Christian, claimed to love the Lord, and she was absolutely miserable. I mean, not only did she know it was wrong, but you know what I think what really made her miserable was that he already had another girlfriend on the side and was about to throw her over. But she came and said, I am miserable. I want to be free of this. And we talked to her and we shared the word and we showed her what she could do. And she said, yeah, I understand all that. I've tried all that, but I just can't seem to let go. What is that? She's out of control. Have you ever been there in that type of situation? Out of control. You knew what was going on in your life wasn't right. You knew. You claimed to be a Christian. And you were doing something that you knew was grossly against what God commands. And you still didn't feel as though you could help yourself. Not only out of control, but she knows this is destructive. She knows there is no future in this. She knows this is going nowhere, going to do her no good, but she still can't let go. And here's the final thing and the most important thing that she said. You know, I can't even pray anymore. Can't pray. You see, she knows what's going on in her life is so far against the will of God that that guilt and condemnation of continuing in that lifestyle is so great that she is being pushed away from God. All three of those things say, child, you need to examine yourself. You've got a door open in your life that Satan is coming through to influence your life and to take you to destruction. You need to deal with the devil in your life. Well, how do you do that? Go over to Luke chapter 4, verse 8. The devil was tempting Jesus. Look how Jesus answered him. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. See, when the devil came and tried to tempt Jesus, Jesus spoke directly to him, get out of here. And so when the devil comes to tempt us, we have the right to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, he's got to move. Amen? Him and all of his demons, none of them can stand up to that name. But catch this, understand this. If all you do is stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I rebuke you. But if that's all you know how to do, there's no power in that. What does the scripture say? The scripture doesn't say just rebuke the devil, but what does it say? James 4, 7. Therefore, number one, submit to God. And number two, do what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't just talk to the devil. You've got to actively resist him. When he comes knocking on the door of that area of your life where up until now you've been allowing him to control you. Up until now, whenever he knocked, you said, come on in. Been waiting for you. You have got to actively resist him. And the first thing it says, submit to God. See, that's the issue. That's number one. If there is an area of your life that you have not submitted to God, before you do anything else, you need to submit. Is there any area of your life where you need to say, God, I have sinned. I have held this back from you, but now I release it, Lord. I'm going to be obedient from now on. Take me, Father, cleanse me, and give me the power to live for you in this area of my life. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and you will get the praise.